Hello, my beautiful soul family. We are back once again with another episode for you on this beautiful Rainbow Podcast, which represents our trans community, our LGBTQ, gender expansive, and so much more.
Good morning.
Rise, my beautiful people. How are you guys? How is everybody? I just want to ask that question and let Mark take the floor. That's just a lot going on.
Ooh. I think that's an understatement.
Oh, for real.
As I said a lot recently, it's been a really long month in the week and a half that since the inauguration. This
Yes.
is what it's been, at the time that we're recording this at least. So, but I'm curious, Simone, how are you doing with all this? There's a lot of stuff coming out.
For me, the past few weeks has been an emotional one, mind-boggling at the same time. A lot to process for a trans woman. You wake up and you're just like, okay, I'm gonna keep going. Because at the end of the day, I have to fight this fight. I have to fight this fight.
Yeah.
I know my ancestors had to fight their fight. I know so many other people and different cultures had to fight their fight throughout time and history to survive and make a stance. And that's what I'm gonna have to do with so many others by my side. It's just a lot to process with all of the executive orders that are like going into office and things of that nature. And granted, it's to get approval and pass and stuff like that in Congress and things of that nature. But yeah. It's just the fact you're seeing such things being signed off. I'm just like,
Yeah. What's been the hardest, I think, for me is we knew this was coming. I mean, like,
yeah.
at the end of the day, they whether it was just the Trump agenda, or if you really wanted to look at the basis of it, which is and always has been Project 2025. They've been telling us that they were going that this was their plan, that this is what they were going to do. And I think that there's a lot of us that read it or read the majority of it and walked away like, seriously, this can't really be what people think, and that they really think that the American people want and need. And guess what? They followed through on what they said they were going to do. And I think it's hard to accept that there's people that can hold that much hate and that much narrow-mindedness that they can go after people the way that they're going after the trans community and immigrants right now.
This is true.
To everybody that's listening, I mean, I hear the difficulty of having to hold all of this right now. I hear it in my clients every day when I meet with them. And this is a conversation that I have literally like five, six times a day with clients. And they're just like, it's overwhelming. And it is. The biggest thing that keeps coming up for me right now, other than just the difficulty in accepting that this is the truth, is trying to come back to the realization this is the purpose, this is the point of this stage.
Yes.
This is exactly what they want, is they want us overwhelmed.
They want us panicking. They want us being in a fear state of emotion and vibrational frequency. They want us to get angry. They want us to retaliate. They want us to go into a state of violence. So they can have something that they can lean on. Look, yes. This is what we're talking about. Do you see? Do you see? Yeah.
Yeah. They are. Trump right now is looking for an excuse to take emergency powers to so that it can shield him from, scrutiny on anything that's going on. And we can, could spend hours diving into everything that's happened, but for our community, for LGBT and especially the trans community, and it is our turn and our time to really push back. There's a journalist, Aaron Reed, who published a really great article on Substack this week. She's the wife of Zoe Zephyr, who is a openly trans legislator. I want to say Montana, but I think I'm going to get the state wrong. It's either that or one of the I states, Iowa, Idaho. My brain loses that level of detail in my ADHD brain.
I'm still trying to process.
But she did a great job of breaking some of it down, and some of the initial ones about the transgender ban in the military was one that we knew was coming. The other ones have been not really a surprise, but the level of pushing of any time that they say DEI, trans rights are the door that they're opening to get there. And they're using that as the wedge issue. But the important thing that Aaron brought up was that from our perspective especially, they really crossed a line. Instead of just using the pseudoscience that they've used for years and the talking points that they've, the cherry-picked crap that they've used to push this ridiculous narrative that gender-affirming care is not needed. They literally came in and said that people that were serving at openly transgender in the military are being dishonest and dishonorable in what they're doing. And by doing that, they couldn't uphold the high standards of the military. And considering the fact that the majority of the transgender people that are in active duty military right now are in higher positions, they are career, they are lifers, they are people that are there because this is their calling. It is such a slap in the face. And it is really, this is their first step in trying to go down a dehumanizing road. It's always been that way, but they're really now. They've crossed that threshold of we're not just going to try and bring some lies to it, as we're now going to say you are not good people. Because of this, you're a bad person. And
Basically.
yeah, good.
No, go ahead. I was just thinking in my head, like, they are just trying to find some way to, in a sense, push the idealistic view on trans people and make it into reality.
Again, I encourage you for people to check out her newsletter. She's doing this as an independent journalist. She is an award-winning journalist, and she does an amazing job of really digging through things. Her Substack is called Erin in the Morning. I encourage everyone to check her out. But what comes up for me and working with my clients is that we at some point have to step back from the overwhelm that's coming out. There's nothing that we're going to do right now that's going to stop them from putting these things out. And honestly, stopping them from coming out is just, it's never going to stop it. And it's not even if we slow it down. We kind of need it to happen now. We need to be prepared to recognize that this is their plan.
It's just like, obviously the old saying, just rip the bandit off. Just rip the bandit off. Like, I have no time for the little, oh, let me peel it off slowly. You won't feel as much pain. Just rip the sucker off and just show me what the real deal is. Like, no. So I'm like, yeah, at this point, like you just said, Mark, I'm glad you're ripping the bandit off. I'm glad. Because now you're showing us your true colors and agenda. And now we're going to build our defense. We're going to build our plan.
There's nothing that can be done from a legislative perspective to say that trans people don't exist or that any of our community doesn't exist because we exist.
But they don't want it to be so. They want to basically alienate us, make us seem like, that we're just like a foreign object, or, some made a belief ideology that we just came out of nowhere and just like, yeah, we're making different genders, we're basically transforming into a different gender and being somebody totally different and just live a different identity. Yeah, it's something so just fiction. It's not real.
It's, I mean, the first executive order that came out was to declare that there's only two sexes, which doesn't even match up with science in any particular way. Maybe science from the 1800s, but even then there was an understanding of intersex, even though that's not, it was, called being a hermaphrodite at the time, or probably some other really more horrible term, but that was the earliest term that I remember hearing. But even now, we understand that there's so much more nuance to our sex markers than just genitalia. And even the chromosomes don't always match up correctly. So this whole starting thing, this whole starting point is just, it's performative. It is to get people riled up. It's to keep people unhappy. I find it, some of this I find horribly interesting from a, observational standpoint. I don't agree with any of it. Please don't anybody take that as that I'm in agreement with any of it, but I find it interesting in how people are so willing to glom on to what's happening. And there was somebody that posted recently that I saw that said his supporters don't care about what they do for them. They don't care about what he's willing to do against the people they don't like.
And it makes total sense if you look at it. A majority of the people that probably voted in this society really didn't even vote on what he probably might do to help America. With the whole, oh, lowering this, lowering that, or, helping to give more jobs for the American people and things of that nature, which JD Vance can even basically answer yes or no to the interview, that question that, was given to him about the whole, oh, the lowering groceries and making price of bacon more better for the American people, things that like that they should be more worried about. But no, what they're worried about, like you said, Mark, it's just the emotion of hatred and discrimination that they have within their hearts. And that's what they're more worried about, to see if, their precious leader is going to be in agreement with him, with them, excuse me.
None of this is where I think it's important for our community. And again, this is my opinion. I so want to hear from other people because I am just one voice in this, and I'm not trans. But I can't hardly think of a time, at least in my adult life, that trans people have not been a part of it. And I can't imagine a life without trans people in it. And it's such a significant part of my practice and has been for so many years that I can't imagine what it would be like to not have trans people in my life. I mean, I feel like, this is what makes life better, is to see people be who they are. But the goal, from my perspective, is to find ways and to open up ways that we can cope with this and that we can start to fight back.
And one way to fight back is by voicing our opinion, but in a very somewhat respectful way.
I'm not necessarily completely on board with all of that, but yeah, I hear you though. Yes, we need to speak up. I agree with you, Simone. We do need to be, that in portions of it, we do have to be respectful in it. But
And it's not even in the sense of like being so like respectful. It's don't, and it's hard for me to say this because as a trans woman, I just want to scream and shout at the top of like the Empire State Building and be like, "It's you! Don't you tell me what I can and cannot do in my life or when my sister is real in my house. How dare you?" You know what I mean? But. Don't feed into them and their agenda. They want us to go there, you know. They want us to be angry. They want us to play right into their hands like puppets. And we're not puppets. We're not. We're created from powerful human beings. Like back in ancient times and shamanic times, you were, I wouldn't say really worshipped, but revered as like gods and goddesses because you literally are tapping into both the male and female energy as a trans being, which is a powerful energy source, a powerful mind, and a powerful way of shifting everything in life. And they can literally see that. That's why these demons and these evil entities just want to basically get rid of that because they don't want that shift. They don't want that power to be seen. They don't want that sense of like freedom for most people. Because if people can see the freedom and the power behind us and behind what we represent as a trans being, what's to say that people won't retaliate against the government and basically live in their truth and their authenticity? And say, you know what? Fuck this. I'm not your slave. You need me. You need me. Without people working in this American society, it falls apart. It falls to crumbles. The government needs us. And they know that. It needs us to be in line and obedient. So if we were free-minded and lived their truth, a lot of people won't really be working these private government federal jobs that they want us to work. And I know that we're the spark to that. We're the light to the change. Why do you think they want to dim our light? And why do you think they want to extinguish our flame, which you can't really extinguish our flame, but our flame is, will keep shining bright, literally. But they fear what they cannot control. Plain and simple. They fear what they cannot control. And what they cannot control is us as trans beings. We're different. We're not ordinary. We're not meant to be ordinary. We're not meant to be straight or on the spectrum of being gay or female or male. Like, we're not ordinary. We're
So
extraordinary.
I was meeting with people over the last couple of weeks. It's interesting, really interesting that yes, a lot of both friends and clients that are trans are angry, they're upset, they're not as frightened as many other people right now. The something that I've always admired so much about the trans community is their strength and their willingness to push forward. And they're taking notice, don't get me wrong. One of my anybody in my circle that's trans that isn't paying attention and more attention, and even the ones that are typically like, yeah, talk to me when it's going to affect me. They're even like, okay, I'm paying attention now. But they're not freaking out. And we have a lot to learn for those of us who are looking at it and kind of like, I'm looking for the fire alarm, everybody. How can we get people's attention to this? That's a bit of my social work background too, that says, be an activist and speak up a lot. But it's just, yeah, strength and fortitude in the community is really amazing, and inspiring.
Thank you. And what makes that resilience and that strength, like the resilience course that you have, Mark, that's why I really like it, because it just reminds me of how powerful we're built. And the government can't take that from us. I'm sorry, I don't feel like crying, y'all. Oh, forgive me. Give me a second. Kind of control my emotions here. You cannot take our power. No matter how much you want to attack us, the only way you're going to stop me if you shoot me dead. And trust me, as a spiritual and powerful being in a magical environment, you don't want to tackle that. Because my ancestors will set you straight. Like, you cannot stop us, no matter how much you try. We've been through worse in our lives. We've been through beatings. We've been through attempts of people trying to kill us. We've been through the hardest things you can think of in life. And you think that by signing a couple little bit of executive orders that you're going to do something to us? You keep thinking.
Thank you for sharing that. I feel like we need to cut into a scene from Star Wars, the original one, where Darth Vader's getting ready to strike down Obi-Wan Kenobi. It's like, you strike me down, I'm going to become even more powerful than you can possibly imagine. The kink. But I feel you. That's it, and that's exactly what's going on right now. I don't think they realize what they're creating, the opposition that they're creating. But one of the things that I'm encouraging clients and everybody to really do is to take a step back from some of these executive orders and really look at them. Because when we can take it out of our own personal perspective a little bit, it gives us some ability to have talking points with people that don't want to look at this, and they want to just pass it off as not mattering. But think about what that first one says. There's male or female. Well, who gets to judge that, and how is it judged? And most people are not going to question male identity, but they are going to question female identity. This leads to the bathroom bills that we're seeing, where it's going to make it legal for little girls and women to be inspected by people, to have genitals inspected, and they're already on that path. That's already started. And so it's always that question is, what are you willing to give up in order for this to take place? The next one is when we look at things like one of the most recent ones about education, and this one just came out And to me, it's almost even m more horrible if we could even consider that.
Now, give me a slight summary of the executive order, because I was at work in the medical field and I was dealing with one of my patients. And I seen it came across on the television, but I wasn't able to get the full glance of it. I was a little stunned. Even the patient of mine that I was doing was a little stunned. I was just like, huh.
So
Okay.
the big thing in this is that first off, a lot of what they say in that particular one is very, very vague. And I'm not going to pretend to be an expert on it. I've read through it a couple of times, mainly because I had to keep going back and rereading it. Like, what in the hell does that mean? And so there's really a few things in there that they're really pushing. First is they want to keep any talk of gender ideology out. So anything like that is they're considering indoctrination. So they also want anything related to DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, taken out of any type of curriculum. And lastly, they want to push this 1776 agenda that they were talking about to try and combat critical race theory, which, by the way, was never really curriculum in an elementary, middle, or high school. College curriculum, and people don't like critical race theory because it speaks truth to what actually happened in the U where how US got started.
I was built.
And so it's all about that whole bill is so vague, that whole policy is so vague, and it's intended to be that way. And so is it more about bringing it up is what part of your American history are you willing to let go of? What are you allowing your educational system to teach your children that may or may not fit with what you believe? Now, that's what they're telling us is, well, we want the parents to be more involved. But here's the thing, parents generally aren't that involved with their kids, and they weren't all along. They saw teachers as babysitters. But the thing is, what they're trying to do is they're trying to create such a scare tactic in the teachers that they're going to do this narrow teaching of broad subjects, and they're going to eliminate anything that has the potential of being considered something one way or another. So the question is, what kind of education is your child actually getting at that point? So let's take it one step further that it's not just that. But what if a parent sees, and this is an old argument, but evolution, particular science theories, Big Bang theory, all of those things, what if the parent says that that's not okay? And that starts reducing it. Basically, we're going to reduce America's even a potential of being able to compete nationwide or internationally. And you're going to hamstring everybody by putting them into this white nationalist Christian crap and funneling all the public money into private schools because they want to fund private religious schools. They don't want an actual public education. Every time that they accuse somebody of doing something, they're telling on themselves. And that's really all it comes down to. You know, they say that this is to increase critical thinking, but how do you increase critical thinking by not introducing ideas that are going to spark critical thinking? If you're telling
Course.
people what to think, it doesn't become critical.
Exactly. Critical thinking includes different perspectives and different alternatives. You have to have a difference in things. They have to be like, it doesn't have to be an argument or something so, broad and different, but it has to be different perspectives on things. You can't have critical thinking on just one thing. It doesn't work.
But again, stepping back from this, taking a moment, give yourself, just everybody has to take the time that they need to breathe and bring themselves into this moment because it's hard. When I say that this has been a struggle to accept, I've had to accept this out of people that are very close to me in my life that have shown themselves to be on board with this agenda. To being willing to see people as less than human. And because they've been pulled into fear. And for me right now, even that empathy for their fear is really struggling. In a lot of ways, I'm kind of even on empathy overload. So we have to take our time. We have to nurture ourselves. In an environment like this, one of the most radical things that we can do is to take care of ourselves and to be ourselves. And we have to.
Yes. No hiding. No. Oh my gosh. Let me regress and just think about this before I even step out and be different. No. If you are trans in any type of way, if you have even thoughts of thinking like, oh, I may be different in some type of way, do not let this nonsense, this agenda, this foolish idea of a society stop you from being who you want to be. Let your curiosity run wild and discover who you are. Do not let this dim your light, dim who you are. Don't regress. Don't. Why you'll be going back? Why go back when you can go forward?
Yeah, don't feel like you have to be screaming like everybody. We need people on the street corners being disrespectful, disrupting what they're doing. We need lots of people out there doing that. But that's only one piece. There's lots of people that are going to work behind the scenes that are going to speak up in those areas. And sometimes that speaking up is a whisper, but it's not about comparing ourselves to one another and what we're doing. We just need to find a place to start speaking, even if it's just within our own communities. But that's a huge part of taking care of yourself is finding community, finding a space that you can be you, so that sometimes we have to start with our own community to learn how to speak up and how having some support and being ourselves. So,
Without community, without family. Sorry, Mark. I'm interrupting.
please, please.
No, it's just saying, without community, without family, it will be challenging to do this on your own. First of all, when we create our soul contract before we come on Earth, we create a family, we create people to connect with because as a spiritual being, as a mental being, as a being in soul, of soul, that this earth is not meant to be walked alone. So to just do it alone or by yourself is challenging. It's tough. It's tough on the body, mind, and spirit. Finding a family that you resonate with, finding a community, and building that in your life, building a foundation, building a space that makes you feel powerful is something so precious. I don't know how people do it without that because it makes it more challenging in your life. Even if it's not your own biological family, you can build your own soul family.
Now's
And
the time to start finding that community.
yeah.
Now, I'm biased because we have our own community that we've also named it.
We sure do. Yes.
DiscoveringSelf.ca. But wherever you find it, I don't care. Find your community. Find the place
Yes.
that's going to help you develop and have your voice, or they can help you bring your voice out, or just be a part of the chorus of that community. It does not matter. Your voice is so important. Community. It is so critical, and since we it's been a really long time since we've had an in my husband and I have had a real in-person community. Even when we lived on the West Coast, we were living in a smaller town, but community was even hard to build there. Because if you didn't grow up in that area and probably two or three generations back, you were still considered an outsider. And so we never really built a great deal of community there. So we really, really missed it. But we have continued to build in our own ways online communities that have been really helpful. And one of mine has been work has been doing things on Substack. Been some putting some of my own writing out there, but really just being able to get connected with other people that are like Erin in the Morning, Heather Cox Richardson, Joyce Vance, and so many others that and Dan Rather, who was the one that actually brought me to that platform. Have just had such an influence in just getting feedback and being able to comment and hear other people's stuff has been really helpful.
I'm
But
telling you.
yeah, it's just so important.
It
Sorry.
is. No, I'm in agreement with you. It's truly, truly important to look beyond just your space, but look outward in the world and know that it is vast and it can be a big space to do it all alone. It is truly a big space. And having a space that you rely, not rely really, but kind of connect with people and share a common interest, a common goal. Why not? And on that note, with Rainbow Shift, we are here. Rainbow Shift is our community that we have been building so powerfully with love and compassion and empathy to help all of our community, trans, LGBTQ, gender expansive, curiosity. We are here. We are here in this time right now that needs a light. And the light is going to keep on shining bright. So join aboard the light and let it be shine.
We are working on right now, and we'll be releasing some dates soon as to where within that community, and you can come join us for the conversations. But it's going to be opening up space for people to start talking, to share with one another what's going on and where their struggles are. It's not a therapeutic space. It's not therapy, but it is there
Nope.
to support each other because that's where we need to be. We need to be supporting each other. I'm a therapist. Please, if you don't have a therapist, get one. They're great. But this is for us as a community to come together and find ways of moving past, moving on, creating a world that we want to create. I wouldn't say that I'm the biggest political person. I got dragged into all of this many, many years ago, and I am very adamant about keeping our focus on what we want and where we want it to be, not on the negative. But sometimes we have to dig through it to understand it so that we know how to continue to build things. And I'm of the opinion right now is that I don't know that I really want to go back to exactly the way things were. As a matter of fact, I want to see so much more. But that's really up to us right now to start thinking about what do we want our world to look like when we're able to resist this push of over control in our lives and this effort to try and erase our communities.
I agree. I so agree because that's a different outlook, a different look on the situation. Rather than getting highly upset and retaliating with just nothing but just anger and hatred, it's better to show them that we are resilience. Like in Star Wars, we're the resilience. We're literally fighting back, baby. You always stopping us?
Yeah, we're never promoting, though, allowing people to harm you. Now, all of this is about boundaries and being able to say, this is how I expect to be treated. And if people aren't able to meet that, then they don't have to have a place in your life.
Nope, just can't pass this bubble.
So there are a lot of people that have had to say to family members and that have gone fully down this right wing extremism that are unable to be respectful of them. They've totally get it. And that's, if people cannot be respectful and they can't treat you like a human, then no, they don't need to have a place in your life. But that's each person's choice that they get to make. So collectively, we're now starting to think about what does that mean to set those boundaries for us as a community, and how are we expecting to be treated and be represented in our government? Because that's what they're trying to take away as our place in this country, and it's not going anywhere.
Nope.
As long as we have the ability to fight it, we're going to fight it.
I'm
So,
gonna keep marching.
yeah. All right. What am I missing, Simone?
I'm just here thinking about it, this Martin Luther King just popped in my head. I have a dream. I have a dream, and my dream is big. My dream is to see this community thrive and be the light that pierces through the darkness. I have a dream.
Couple of years ago, we were in DC. My in-laws live around that area, and one of the most important things to go visit for me was the Martin Luther King Memorial. And it's an amazing memorial, but just to see Dr. King emerging from that rock is amazing. And that's what we need to be looking towards, is that strength. And I think that it was prophetic that the inauguration happened on Martin Luther King Day, is that my hope is that that was the revolution coming, that the overshadowing of a truly revolutionary person saying, no, you're going to do your best to try and knock us out, but you're not going to do it.
I mean, it was beautiful, but at the same time, I understand both sides, the statement of the bishop when she made her statement. I was like, wow, there's the voice coming through. Granted, I don't know if it was the right environment, but it was powerful.
But this is that is the epitome of what we're seeing right now, is that if somebody that's now at the reins of the largest and the most well-funded military of the world, and the leader of the free world, which not their vision what free is, but is unable to sit there in a church, a Christian church, and hear a bishop say, I ask you to have empathy for the most vulnerable people, and you demand an apology. You are telling on yourself. You are saying, I am a fascist. I do not actually care about people. This is all about me. And how dare you insult me?
Yes.
And how quickly everybody dove on to, oh, they're radical leftists. I'm sorry, but if empathy is a radical leftist thing, man, put me at the far end of the spectrum.
Thank you, because that's all I am. And that's all I work with each and every single day. So I'm like, sorry, if you don't like empathy, then it's not gonna work between us. Like, that's all she was asking for. All she was asking for, it was just some compassion, some empathy, social grace. No.
But if you're unable to do that, just truly ask those people that support him is if you truly believe in what he's saying, what do you feel like that it says about him and his administration that puts a safeguard around you that he's not going to come after you?
You took the words right out of my mouth, Mark. I'm just like, I love how people are so distracted. You Americans cannot see the real agenda behind this man's so-called power now. Get with the real agenda that they're pushing. You think it's just about this deportation? You think it's about this DEI? DEI, you think it's about just basically taking away women's rights? Keep dreaming. Because when it hits, oof, I gotta say.
This is the beginning. This is not the end. And they've shown no means of stopping. They're already talking about, like, even in the RFK confirmation hearings,
That was quite
even
interesting.
like, yeah, it started saying, well, no, it really is the president's agenda to, like, clamp down on mifepristone and the access to abortion and put it to the states so that they can go back to the states and say, yep, you're going to need to ban everything. We're going to outlaw, medical procedures that are absolutely necessary. And everything is about loyalty to him. How is that ever we the people? And if you really want to be nauseated, take a look at whitehouse.gov, because it's not a picture of the White House. It is a picture of him taking up the entire screen. It's disgusting. It
That
is
is just
flat out, look at me. I'm a narcissist. I want everything to be about me. It has nothing to do with you. It wipes out we the people. And that's all people, not just trans, LGBT, not
that's
just women,
everybody.
not just people of color. It's everybody, because it has nothing to do with anybody but him. So it's been a week, I have to say. It's been a couple of weeks. It is sometimes hard to hold some of that anger and frustration back. This is why these spaces are so important, is we need a space to get some of this out, but also to bring some clarity and compassion to ourselves and how to move forward.
Is needed right now. It is needed, and if we don't bring it forth, if we don't have compassion for ourselves, if we don't have community, if we don't have connection, we're gonna lose. We're gonna lose, and that's what they want. They want us to just give up. They want us to just lay there and die. Lay there, like, now they want some of the females to do in this world. Which is quite disgusting and heartbreaking to me. So you want like the agenda of what our vice president wants is a place where we bring in a lot of children now. And we're not gonna just sit here and take whatever you wanna push.
Yeah. All right, I think I'm done ranting for now.
Same. Same. But just remember, everyone, even if your voice is small, it's needed. But be a wise and powerful voice. Be a kind voice.
I'm trying to put on most everything when I post is for our community. You're wanted, you're needed. You don't have to do this alone.
Nope.
And you're wonderful exactly as you are.
Exactly. You're more than enough. Probably even too much enough for this place. I didn't know that. Like, what I mean? Like, come on now. That'll be too much.
Well, and the most radical thing we can do right now is to live a good life and show them that they can't run us over.
Sure can't. Yeah, sure cannot.
And if
So
they don't
remember my
pop
beautiful
their
soul.
tires and run them off the road.
Okay. But like, oh, you tried. Hold on, make a mistake. Pop that tire. Like, bye. Eat my dust. Oh my gosh. I love you, my soul family. I just want y'all to know that, keep fighting the fight. Keep being educated on the situation and stay in the loop and just watch from the sidelines. You don't have to be the main player to make a move on the board. You can get a lot done from the sidelines. Right, my loves, I love you. Stay strong, stay in harmony, and know that we got this. And on that note, we will see you later.
I'll see everybody again soon.
Yes.